From up in the nosebleeds to down to the 50-yard line, wherever you watch the game, this is the place to sound off. Sports Talk with Jock on 770 CHQR.
Don't you just love Friday nights? Especially when the sun is shining, the patios are open, and hockey is back. That's right, hockey is back for sure because the players voted yes. Pretty overwhelming yes vote, as a matter of fact. 502 players voting yes to the new CBA. Only 135 voting no for the CBA and the return to play plan. What that means is we've got hockey starting August the 1st. Flames and the Jets. Flames and the Jets will open up their best of five series on August the 1st. They will play game number two on August the 3rd, game number three on August the 4th, and then if necessary, they will play August the 6th and August the 8th. You know, that first round, the play-in, the seeding round, you got 52 games in a nine-day stretch. We're talking five or six games a day. If you're a hockey fan, you're going to get your hockey fix starting August the 1st. Now, players do have an opportunity to opt out if they want. It's a penalty-free opt-out. They can do that by Monday, 5 o'clock Eastern. How many players will opt out? There'll be a few. But I think most players will say, let's play some hockey. Let's get back to some NHL playoff hockey, and it is going to be fun. Hey, I'm going to tell you this. It is Friday fun time. The People's Sportscaster is with us tonight. And we've got a huge hockey fan as our special guest at about 7:15. If Derek Bidwell, we don't get stiffed like we did last week with Devon Claybrooks.
Ah, don't jinx it already. Like, oh, man. Biscuit had too many biscuits, I think. And he, you know, maybe had a big meal. He must have had a really, really, really big meal. And then he just needed a nap after that or something. I don't know.
Shame on us. We should know better than to book an American on the July 4th long weekend.
Yeah, that might have had something to do with it. I don't know. I think we can chirp him because when you're a no-show for your radio show, I think you can get chirped. So yeah, I think Biscuit deserves it. And maybe we'll stay away from Americans on July 4th because we just know that they like to get out there and whip it up, I guess, a little bit.
Well, we learned a good lesson. And hey, we will get Devon Claybrooks back on a later date. But the guest we've got tonight, I'm very excited about. I'm not going to give it away just yet. But I love talking golf, and
let's just hold off. Till we make sure that we have producer gets them online.
Yeah, okay, good point.
It's in the summer now. Everybody's like in summer holidays. It seemed like it started a little bit early, but I guess we are pretty much there now. I guess we would be in a normal year as well. But yeah, there's just a whole lot of other variables that could come into play that may not make them be there for us. So let's just say if we do get this guest, you're excited for him for why?
Because he's a golfer and I'm a golfaholic.
You are. You golf a lot, actually. I haven't golfed yet this year, and you've golfed, seven times?
I think I'm up to 10 now, so.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it's one of the things you can do in a COVID world. Hey, this is our show about nothing. He's the People Sportscaster, Derek Bidwell, of course, from Global Saskatoon. This is a show where we don't talk a lot of sports. Well, we talk a little sports, but not a lot of sports. We like to have fun. We like to embarrass ourselves. And I want to thank you for nominating me for the trick shot for Snowy earlier this week. Now, you got nominated by Glenn Campbell. Yeah. And I have to ask the question tonight. Who did it better? And who is more lazy? Because we both took the soft road out on our trick shots.
Okay, well, I think it's a two-part answer. I think you did it better because you added in more video and goofiness, and you had some footage from a Rodney Dangerfield movie, and then you kind of got a little bit of props as a father because you had your daughter doing an amazing dive, and then. So I guess you had more elements to you and yours that I guess it was better. But as far as who was lazier or who mailed it in more, it was definitely you. You didn't even get off your couch. And please, I went with my gal Andrea's son, Gabe, to the park. We tried to get him to due to a trick shot. Like, we're running out of battery and sunlight, and we're just getting eaten by mosquitoes because he just kept trying to do these shots, and they wouldn't work. And I would do the preamble. Okay, here we are. We're doing the trick shot. Thanks for nominating me, Glenn Campbell. And then da-da-da-da-da. And then he'd miss. And then, okay, we'd do it again. And then eventually we just had to use one of his flub-ups and just kind of make a joke of it and then nominate you. Otherwise, we were going to have like
5,000
mosquito bites and be there all night. Yeah.
Like, you didn't even try to make a shot yourself, though. You're right, because I did do mine from my office. I didn't leave my house, and so I was a little bit lazy. But I was, you know, the tough thing about the trick shot for Snow, and if you don't know what we're talking about, Chris Snow, the Flames assistant coach, of course, diagnosed over a year ago with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, was given 1 year to live. Well, he passed that date earlier this week, and the Calgary Flames organization started up this trick shot for Snowy so we can raise some money for ALS. And it's been taken off. It's going North America wide. So many people are doing it. So it is a really, really neat thing to be involved with. And congratulations to the Flames organization for doing it. And hey, it's just an amazing story with what Chris Snow is doing.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I like everybody getting behind it. You know, whether you're getting off the couch or not, whether you're getting somebody else to attempt to do it for you, it just draws attention to a great cause, draws attention to you know, a man that's going through something, you know, very serious, and that it shows a lot of support for him, and that means a lot. I know that it does when someone is going through something like this. So even though it's a little bit silly, it does provide some serious help and benefits, you know, to someone that's going through a very serious thing. So however you do it, if you do it on the couch or if you do it trying to film somebody else making the trick shot, feel free to get involved and get started and challenge other people and just once again to gain a little more momentum behind it and a little more attention behind, you know, something that has to be fought. Another serious illness out there that needs more attention and needs more money in order to find a cure.
If I was going to tweak your video, you know how I would tweak your video, Bidzy?
I don't know if you're going to be able to tweak my video. I mean, maybe just a titch. I would tweak
your video by maybe having Derek Bidwell take a basketball shot. And you know what? It's funny because tweak is our word of that. How many is that? Five now?
I think it's five.
Five tweaks?
Yeah, I think it's five. I don't know. I think we got to let them catch up.
Let them catch up.
Because if we throw in too many, then they'll just give up. They'll throw in the towel. This is like a college thing. This is like, you know, we can't let them. We got to let them catch up a little bit here.
We have a couple of friends listening into the program tonight. They're at the cabin, and they said they're going to take a drink every time we say the word tweak on the show. That's six now.
Yeah, they're at six. So I don't know. Like, this could get a little serious. We better let him, like, once again, I think we better let him catch up.
Maybe they should just chug. Just chug now.
Maybe we'll install a few more tweaks a little later. We'll tweak the show a little bit later on.
Tweak the show a little bit later. I wonder when our guest, and we're going to get our guest in a few minutes, I wonder when he tweaked his back injury.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more than a tweak.
Yeah.
Once again, we are way over the top with the tweaks. So I think we got to, okay, let's just, maybe we'll just tell the fellas, okay, that's three. Okay, so that's three. At least you got to have, that counts for three, and then we'll hit you up again after 7:15, maybe with a few more tweaks.
Yes, we might be getting a few drunk texts later on tonight in the show. You know, yeah. The text number, 403-974-8255. He's Derek Bidwell. I'm Jock Wilson. Every Friday night, we like to bring on a special guest. We've had some outstanding guests. Yes, we got stiff last week, but that's okay. We're gonna see if we can get back on track tonight because we've got a very special guest coming your way next. Not only is he an Olympian, he's a world-class golfer. Derek Bidwell will introduce our special guest when we come back. This is Friday Fun Time. This is Sports Talk with Jock on 770 CHQR. How did you like that? A little Friday fun time with the people's sportscaster, Derek Bidwell, on a beautiful Friday night in Calgary. The sun is shining. The patios are open. Hockey is back, which is fantastic. And Bidzy, I just got a nice picture text from Sean Cable. And Sean Cable is taking a drink. He's got his lovely family in the background. And I think you got another text too, didn't you?
Yeah, I got one from his brother, Scott Cable, the Cable Boys. They're the ones that got us into the tweaking for a sip or for a shot or whatever they were doing. And so, yeah, he just said, "Holy, jumping Jehoshaphats! Slow down there, boys. How many shots you think I can take?" So, there was too many tweaks. I think we were thinking. They were going to have a sip with every tweak, and then they thought they were doing a shot. So I think I don't know. I guess we'll have to slow it down. But
they should know better. They should know better if they're going to give us a challenge to say how many times we can say tweak on the show just when they take a drink or a shot. We're gonna get them plastered. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. If they're following up with what we're saying.
So we can't,
I don't know if they're able to play. I don't know if they're able to perform as fast. So I don't know. They're going to have a real good time, the Cable Boys, and they're out at Glenifer Lake. They're going to have a real good time.
We better not say tweak anymore, because if we say tweak some more, they might have to drink some more. So anyway, hey, Bidzy, we got a special guest. We didn't get stiff tonight on Friday Fun Time. So you get to do the honors. Will you please introduce our special guest?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, time to bring on tonight's guest. He's a gripping and ripping kind of fella. He's a PGA player hailing from Weyburn, Saskatchewan, currently hanging his hat in Boise, Idaho, where he went to college. He made over $11 million on tour, so find out if you're related to him. He lives and dies with the Boise State Broncos and the Flames, a huge fan. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the man that rocked the best beard in the history of the PGA Tour, inspired by ZZ Top. This is Graham Dillette.
Graham Dillette, a special guest on Sports Talk with John. Are you still rocking the beard, Graham?
I've got a small one growing in the mall, but that was quite the intro. Thanks, man.
Well, you know, Bidzy likes to pump up our guests, and we're very excited to talk about you tonight. I don't know if you know much about the show, but this is our show about nothing. During COVID, we decided to basically do a show, and since there's really not a lot of sports to talk about, we would just have some fun and tell some stories and bring on some special guests. So thanks. I remember you in 2009 at Sirocco. You probably don't remember me, but I was doing a radio show from
Sirocco.
I'm going to
wager that he doesn't.
Yeah, but I think I was one of...
I got a fiber that says he does.
I think I was one of the first guys to interview after you won at Sirocco in the ATB Classic back in 2009. Do you remember me, Graham?
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Those are good memories, man. I was telling someone just the other day that some of the best times of my entire professional golf career was playing mini tours and playing Canadian Tour. Like, it was those obviously. You know, it's nice to play for the bigger money, and that's where you want to be. But the amount of like friendships and everything that I have from those tours in those 3 years, are probably more than I have playing on the PGA Tour. Everything is just so much more serious. It's so much more of a business. And out there, I mean, shit, we're going to every Earls across Canada 5 nights a week and crushing beers and shoot numbers is what we were trying to do. That was like our motto 1 year, like crush beers and shoot numbers. So we were having fun. It was always. Three of us traveling together, and the high guy would sleep on the floor in the hotel that night, and we'd play the next day, and that's kind of how it went. So those are some good times.
You know, it's kind of funny because I remember I used to host a couple of players on the Canadian Tour, the Mackenzie Tour as it's called now, and Clayton Rask and all of his boys from the University of Minnesota would stay in my basement, and they loved it because, you know what, saved them a few dollars from staying in a hotel, and I would cook them the odd breakfast and stuff like that. But you probably had some similar stories where, you know, you probably stayed in the odd house here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, we did. You know, from time to time we would do billets, and then, you know, the other times kind of in hotels. But I remember Clayton; he was a hell of a player.
He was
hit it long. I don't know whatever happened to him. I haven't seen his name in a long time. But
he's back in Minnesota. Yeah, he likes hunting and fishing.
Okay, yeah, that's for sure. I know that one time I remember we the same three of us, James Love from Calgary, Bill Tarosh from Edmonton, who I basically traveled with all the time, and we had the tour championship. Was it? like Barrie, Ontario, which is like 2 hours north of Toronto. So we rented a car. You know how you rent a car, like Seinfeld has that skit.
Oh, yeah.
You rented it, but then it's not there when you get there, and they don't know how to hold the reservation, whatever. But so we ended up in a PT Cruiser, and there was three of us with three massive club glove golf bags and all of our suitcases. So the guy who finished last in term four was in the back seat, covered in suitcases and golf clubs, and then the two of us were scooted way up, you know, basically our chest touching the front of the steering wheel and everything in the front seat. But those are the times that, like, guys, and I mean, trust me, man, I wish that I would have gone straight from college to the PGA Tour, but some of those kids that do, they really don't know what it's like to kind of like go through the struggles and enjoy all those times with your buddies and the friendships that you make. And, you know, like you get out on tour, and like I said, everything is just so much more serious, and everyone's kind of doing their own thing. And, you know, there's the odd guy who'll go for a couple cocktails on Friday after missing the cut. But, you know, once you get older, you guys start flying home on a Friday night, try to see their kids for 2 days, and then hit the road again on Monday or Tuesday. So it's just a different world.
It truly is. He's Graham Dillette, special guest here on Sports Talk with Jock and Friday Fun Time with Derek Bidwell. Let's bring Bidzy into this conversation. Hey, Bidzy.
Hey, Graham, I was just going to ask you, too. Like, you talked a little bit about, you know, the high guy sleeps on the floor, the high score, I guess, sleeps on the floor, and going from, you know, to the Earls across Canada and crushing beers and shooting numbers and all that stuff. Do you think that really helped you, that experience? You hear this in other sports too, you know, with guys in baseball and hockey, that the time in the minors just made them a little bit more of a tougher player once they got into the pros, to help them, you know, face the grind and the scrutiny and the pressures and that sort of thing. Do you think that by going through those pressures and getting to the PGA, that it helped you with the pressures that you would feel every day as a PGA player?
Yeah, I think so a little bit. I mean, you know, like I said, I wish I would have gotten my card right out of college, but I didn't. And at the time, I know now that I wasn't ready, physically and mentally probably. You know, my game grew a lot over the 3 years that I played mini tours. But, yeah, also you just learn how to deal with everything else that goes along with being a professional golfer, with the travel and being away and missing your family. And all that stuff's real, and it's hotels and restaurants and flights and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of the, I guess, the not so sexy part of the job or whatever, but nobody would ever complain about it, that's for sure. But yeah, so I think, like, you know, just in general, like, my game needed it, and then also just kind of maturing as a person and you know, as a professional.
So what's the best experience, you know, teeing it up at Augusta or teeing it up as a Canadian Olympian in Rio?
The Rio was pretty special. It was I happened to be the first group off that day, which was really cool because Canada was actually the defending champions from like 1905 or something, right? So I was in the first group off, and it was neat. I mean, they sang everyone's national anthem, you know, before you teed off and waved your flag around. It was just, it was really, really special. I remember walking through the opening ceremonies and having absolute goosebumps everywhere, knowing, like, all these people, was the highlight of their 4 years, the pinnacle. This is what they've been working for 4 years. And, you know, like, for us, if we didn't play well, David and I, we were going to Greensboro the next week, and there was an $8 million purse, you know, type of thing. So it was like, you really got to see how much just love and pride and everything these people had gone through, and they put their balls in the line for 4 years to get there. And that was a really, really special thing to see, and that's the thing that I'll always remember about that. But teeing up at Augusta the first day is pretty special as well.
Oh, I can. Hey, why did your caddy not go to Rio? I can't remember the story, because you had like Ray Whitney on your bag.
Right. Yeah. Do you remember? It wasn't SARS. It was there had like some mosquito thing down there.
Oh yes, it was. Zika virus.
Zika.
That's right. Yeah.
Zika. That's
Zika,
right.
Yeah.
So, and him and his family were. Or him and his wife were going to try to start a family at the time. And the one thing it kind of attacked was like sperm or whatever.
Pregnant women, yes. Was, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's the main reason.
I was going to throw in another quick question, too. We've had other Olympians on the show, too, Graham, and they talk about, you know, prior to
you know, their competition, not so much prior, usually after their competition, they talk about the social aspect of being at the Olympics and getting to meet so many other athletes and the Olympic Village and all that sort of stuff. Maybe just like, what was that like once you were done competing, just whether it was just for the day or in its entirety, what was it like, you know, being around all those other athletes in that environment, maybe having a chance to just kind of enjoy the social aspect?
Yeah, we got to do that a little bit. Unfortunately, both David and I had committed to playing Greensboro the next week, which is the final event of the season. And I was like, I don't even know, like 120th on the list or whatever, and top 125 get their cards back or get to the playoffs. And so I couldn't really afford to miss Greensboro the next week. Eventually, I went there and missed the cut anyway, so I wish I would have stayed. But that's the one regret I have, is that I would have stayed and just enjoyed, even just like a few days. Because we finished on the Sunday and left like Monday morning, and we're out of there. And that's definitely the biggest regret I have from that week, because it would have been fun. We went to a lot of different activities and sports and stuff, and watched diving, and badminton was unbelievable, ping pong. We went to some track and field stuff. It was really, really cool to be there. It was funny when we got there, we're all kind of in like an apartment condo or whatever, me and David and our coaches and caddies. And I walked into my bedroom, into the bathroom in there, and there was like two, like a black wire and a red wire where this like light is supposed to be in my bathroom, with no like electric tape or anything. And we had heard that it was like a little bit incomplete in Athletes Village, but it was pretty cool just cruising around there on bikes and just seeing all the athletes. And we saw Djokovic just like playing tennis randomly with his buddy or whatever, and sat there and just watched him. And it was pretty cool.
Hey, that is cool. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put you on hold for a second. We're going to give you a little bit of a homework assignment here. We always ask our guests, who's the biggest celebrity you've ever hung out with? So we're going to ask you that question when we come back. He's Graham Dillette, PGA Tour player, special guest here with Jock and Derek. It's Friday Fun Time. This is Sports Talk with Jock.
Sunny and 20 degrees in downtown Calgary. Good evening from Global News. It's 7:30. I'm Haley Jarmaine. The federal government's decision to hand the WE organization a $900 million program has ensnared Finance Minister Bill Morneau, in addition to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. One of Morneau's daughters has spoken at WE events in the past, although she was not paid. The other is working in the organization's travel department on a contract. A spokeswoman for Morneau says there is absolutely no link between her employment and any work that WE does with the federal government. As you've heard in Sports Talk, Edmonton and Toronto have been officially unveiled as hub cities as part of the NHL's 24-team blueprint to resume the 2019-20 campaign. The Stanley Cup playoffs are scheduled to be played entirely in Edmonton. Clearing tonight and a low of 11 tomorrow, mainly sunny and a high of 26. It is 20 degrees. Breaking news when it happens. Our next news at 8 o'clock. I'm Haley Jarmaine.
Hey, every Friday night, we'd like to have a little fun here on Sports Talk with Jock. It's our show about nothing. We bring on a special guest, and tonight it's a real honor to be joined by PGA Tour player Graham Dillette. And Graham, we just got a caller here. So Jeff wants to come on the show, and I think he's got a Graham Dillette story. So Jeff, you're on the air with Graham Dillette.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
Jocko! What's up, buddy?
How much, bud, you?
Oh, boy. This could sting, bud.
This could sting?
Well, anyways, the guys reached out to me and just wanted me to tell a Graham Dillette story, some of like a fond memory of, I guess, that we have of our childhood growing up and whatever. And the one that kind of, seeing that this is Calgary and the Flames, I figured I'd get them involved. And I don't know if you remember going up to Ryan Bader's cabin way back in the day and getting a couple tee shots.
Oh,
yeah. Boys. Want to tell the story? Why don't you tell the story? You're a better talker than I am.
Well, yeah, thanks for that. We were up in Saskatoon for the summer. I was still in college. I'd come back for the summer, and we went up to Beta's cabin, and the Regeer brothers were there, Bade, a couple other guys. I can't really remember exactly. And needless to say, we're having a few beers out in the back patio or whatever, sitting on the lake. And one of the guys thinks it's a good idea to grab a couple drivers and go out there and have a long drive contest, hit balls into the water. So the Regeer boys go first, and they crush them. They're pretty good golfers, actually, and big boys, obviously. And then I think I went next, trying to swing as absolute as hard as I could, slipped my back foot, literally like hit about a foot behind the ball in the dirt, popped the ball, almost hit, it was like a snap low hook, almost hit Beta's boat. They're like, you're on the national team?
there's your Olympic athlete right there. I heard you guys talking about 5 minutes ago. That's just representing Canada in the Olympics right there, boys. Be proud.
Jeff, that's good stuff. I appreciate that tonight. Thanks so much for joining us. And we're going to bring
Missy Jocko.
Graham, I got to ask you, why did you become, or how did you become such a big Flames fan?
Honestly, when I was like a kid, I was born in Weyburn. We moved to Moose Jaw for like 5 years. And during that time, that's when Theo played there.
Right.
So those are like kind of my first memories of hockey. My dad taking me to see like the Warriors games. And I was like four, five, six, kind of like that. And then we moved back to Weyburn. And then Theo obviously went away, played Salt Lake, and then kind of got called up there halfway through the season or whenever it was. And then they won the cup, and I was 89. So that basically kind of hooked me as a seven-year-old kid. I was just a Flames fan right from the get-go.
I can understand that. That will definitely get you in there. And Theo should be in the Hall of Fame, for goodness sakes. That still pisses me off.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think he will. But, yeah, there's – it. I mean, who knows what kind of goes on in all those selections and stuff. But
oh, I know.
It seemed like he was more than deserving, that's for sure. So he'll get his chance.
Are you excited
now, Graham,
to hockey?
I was just going to ask
one more hockey question. Are you excited to hockey's back, Graham? Because, hey, we're finally going to return to and play here. Yeah.
I hope it all works out. Yeah, I saw August 1st. We all went to Paris first day or whatever. But, yeah, I just really, really have my fingers crossed that everything works out. Like, even with the PGA Tour coming back, you know, there's obviously been cases, and it's up to everyone's perspective whether they're doing a good job having five or five's too much. But we don't need to get into that. But
nope.
I don't think there's any doubt that something's going to happen a little bit, and hopefully they have, like, I mean, even with the PGA Tour, it's literally evolving every week. There's new protocols and stuff like that, and they're trying to stay up on it, and you know, and they were kind of the guinea pig, so hopefully the NHL and all the other sports have kind of picked little pieces of what has worked and hasn't worked for the PGA Tour and do their best. But yeah, it'll be nice to see some hockey again.
Without a doubt. Bidzy, sorry to interrupt you there, buddy.
I was going to say, Graham, this will lead up to probably the next question that Jock had teed up a little bit earlier to ask you about who's the most famous person you've met and tell the story behind it. But we'll save that for after this question. Now, you probably had a chance to meet a lot of people, obviously, through your time as a PGA player leading up to that. And just maybe in general in life, you could run into people all the time. And you mentioned that you were a huge Theo Fleury fan. Have you had a chance to meet him, to talk to him? And does he know that one of Canada's best golfers and Saskatchewan's favorite golfer is a Theo Fleury fan?
Yeah, I've met him at a couple different Calgary Flames functions or whatever over the years, and then he also came to Saskatoon one year and did, he was like kind of a guest at my annual charity golf tournament that I do. So I have gotten to meet him a number of times, and he actually played music for us that night too.
His band.
He had a band out there or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, it was actually pretty cool. He's not too bad, man.
Well, you know what? Theo's a good friend, and I do want to see him recognized by the Flames, first of all. You know, number 14 should be hanging up with the jersey, and we talked about the Hall of Fame earlier. Okay, it's a question that we ask every one of our guests, because we've had some great answers, whether, you know, people spending the day on the lake with, Dennis Rodman, or, you know, Robin Regeer hanging out of the White House with Barack Obama. So you've been all over the world playing golf, and I'm sure you have met some really, really interesting people. So what's on the top of your list when it comes to famous people? Because you're pretty famous yourself, Graham.
It's crazy, actually. I initially was going to say Wayne Gretzky. I had a really cool experience sitting at Pebble and having lunch with him after a round. And then when Jockey called in for Jeff, my buddy, I was thinking about the time we went to the Kentucky Derby together with another couple. And we hung out with Tony Romo,
and like party with him. He had all these backstage passes, so we did that one night. So that was probably a pretty good one. And then when you're explaining that, I've been to the White House and seen Obama or met Obama and Biden there when President's Cup year. So that's kind of tough. I totally forgot about the president of the United States, but we both the U.S.
all the
and
time, Graham. Yeah.
Both the international and American teams got to go in there, and they had beaten us and whatever. It was like the next summer, and it was pretty neat. So because we went into the Oval Office, and they had, it's exactly like you see on movies. And then on the other side of where the office is, there's like kind of like a little seating area with like some couches and table, like coffee table, and there was like all these apples on the table. I can't remember who it was at first. Like, man, I'm gonna eat an apple out of the Oval Office. So they just like grab this apple, crunches on it. We're like, holy. So then all of us, we're just like eating apples now out of the Oval Office. And then it was pretty neat. Apparently Obama's a really big golf fan. And so there was like Secret Service or whatever, their bodyguards or whatever security was with them the whole time we were in there. He wasn't in the Oval Office with us. And he said that anything that was open, we could go and look in. And the security guy said, guys, I've never seen him leave his office open for anyone, so you guys can go in there. And he's like, this is the first time I've even seen in there. He's like, so either that was an accident or he intentionally left it up. But they had like George Foreman signed gloves and a lot of really cool memorabilia and stuff in there.
Wow.
So that was pretty neat. Was
well
pretty cool.
You know, one up on Reggie, because Regeer didn't actually get to go into the Oval Office, so you one up that for sure. But
he didn't, and he never ate any fruit.
No,
he never ate an apple, so like he basically never even really met him. He was just kind of in the area.
Right.
Well, I got to ask you about Tony Roma too, because you know, the guy is I think he's a better color commentator than he is a football player. I shouldn't say that. He was a very good football player too. But what was Tony like?
Yeah, he was good. So we just kind of have mutual friends, and we went out for supper the one night, and there was a big long table, and he was kind of at the end, and Larry David was there sitting with him or whatever, and I'm like the biggest Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm guy. I don't know if you guys are into those shows or whatever, so I was like, oh my God, Larry. It was like the first time I'd really been starstruck. I'm like, oh, Tony Romo, that's cool, but I'm like, this is Larry David. So that was pretty neat, too. I have totally spaced out, but anyways, yeah, we just, Romo is one of my buddies, is good buddies with him, and from Dallas, and he just took us out. He's like, boys, you're with me tonight, you can do whatever you want. We go to all these places, and there's massive lines everywhere you go. And have you guys ever been to the Kentucky Derby?
I have never been to the Kentucky Derby. No,
I was going to ask you a little bit about that.
They have all these parties everywhere around town or whatever that like all these special people get invited to, and we weren't on any kind of invited list, but Tony got us in everywhere, so it was pretty cool.
When you're rolling with Tony, he can go places. I can understand
that. He pulls some strings, yeah.
I bet. And I was going to say, like, I was going to ask you just a follow up question to that too, like, Graham, like, so just so our listeners know, so you're calling him Jocko, which is you know, your Jeff Will, your buddy's nickname,
right,
is Jockey, of course,
Jockey.
And then, Jockey, so you're calling him Jocko, and then we got Jock Wilson, if you're close to the show. So we don't want to confuse the guests, but that's all going on now.
Right.
I know, talking with Jockey or Jocko, Jeff Will, in Saskatoon, I saw some of the pictures on Facebook and that sort of thing. That's just, it looks like a great time. It's more than just the dudes putting on some swanky sport coats and bow ties and hats, and the gals putting on big hats. Like, it just seems like such a one-day like, it just seems like such an amazing one-day thing that almost at the end of it, you would almost be tired from just taking in so much of that day.
Well, yes and no, but, like, you're tired mostly from doing it Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Saturday is just kind of the icing on the cake. No, because now they have races all through the week. And so like Thursday and Friday, there's also a race. I can't remember what they're called now. And then obviously the Derby is on Saturday, but yeah, it is a spectacle. I mean, the amount of people that are there, the amount of booze being thrown around, just the everyone's attitudes and like the swings and emotions when you see people, like, the one thing you don't realize, like, when you go to like something like that, like, I go to horse races at small tracks and stuff, and the races go pretty quickly, like every 20 minutes or whatever. But there were about an hour between each race, just because it was like such a, it's just crazy just to even go down and get your bet in, just the lines and everything. So it is kind of a long day. So you spend a lot of time of it looking at a sheet of paper that you pretend like you know what's going on with all the jockeys and history and stuff like that, which I can't really read. And then you just kind of nod at each other, put your bet in, and then you just drink.
I hear you. It's kind of like the Super Bowl of horse racing, isn't it? Because I've never been to a Super Bowl, but I've got lots of friends that have been to Super Bowls, and it's the game is almost secondary when it's all said and done because it's all right. The parties leading up to the game. Have you been to a Super Bowl before?
No, I haven't. That'd be on my bucket list.
Yeah,
for sure.
I agree with that 100%. Hey, we are running out of time, Graham, and we do appreciate your time, but I guess I should ask you, you know, just a golf question because we see Tiger Woods coming back next week at the Memorial. When is Graham coming back? When is Graham Dillette going to tee it up again? I know you've had some back issues.
Yeah, I'm working at it. I actually just had another little setback just a few days ago. I was planning on playing Minneapolis, the 3M, which is in Minnesota, just a few weeks from now. But I'm just kind of starting to move around here a little better here today. So I think I'm going to move it back at least a week. And there's an opposite field event in Truckee, California, which used to be the Reno Tahoe Open. They moved it just across the border in California. But there's an event there that I may play, and then I'd just wait until after the playoffs in the fall and kind of start it up in the fall. That's kind of my plan right now. So, you know, barring any kind of setbacks or anything, that's where I plan to be.
Nothing worse when you tweak your back in the game of golf, and I just had to get tweak in so the cable boys can have one more.
One more drink. Graham, before we let you go, too, a hockey question. Everything's about to get started here right away. Talk about what you think the Flames' chances are.
Oh, good question.
To get through Winnipeg or just through the entire...
Well, let's start with Winnipeg.
I actually don't hate the matchup. I think it all. If Connor Hellebuyck plays well, I think it's going to be tough. I think that if we get good goaltending, that's probably all you guys are talking about is going to be the goalie up there for the playoffs. But, you know, if we get some good goaltending, you know, it's NHL playoffs, man. It's going to be tight. We got to play tough. I think Lucic is going to help a lot in the playoffs to bring a little bit of toughness and hopefully scare some guys, do a little bit more kind of old school hockey. And, you know, you got to get a couple bounces to fall, but I don't see us not getting through Winnipeg, especially we get last chance two of the three games, right?
There you go. With no fans, it's going to be weird, just like no fans, you know, in with professional golf and everything else from that standpoint. Yeah. It's a new world that we're living in right now. Do you think this team can go, if they get by Winnipeg, do you think they can ever run in the playoffs?
There's a lot of firepower in the West. I don't know. I think it's going to be tough, but yeah. I think if you get a hot goalie, I think that's about the only way. I mean, I'm trying to be optimistic as I can, but I don't know if like this is the year where we're pegged to go hoist the cup, but hopefully that's coming. But it's nice to be in the mix at least, and then we get to watch any kind of hockey. And I love the setup. Basically, you just watch hockey from 10 a.m. to midnight every day. For like 4 days.
Five or six games a day. That's exactly right. Yeah. Hey, one final question for me.
Oh, be so happy.
Sorry, Bidzy, I cut you off there.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, so many wives or partners. It could be husbands, maybe not happy with their wives, but like so many hockey fans, the partners of a lot of hockey fans are going to be so happy when that starts because their significant other, if they're not a hockey fan, will be watching hockey for about 6 to 7 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
It'll just be on. There'll be at some point in time where like, okay, I'll put it on mute. And then you mute it, but you're still walking through the living room every once in a while checking the door.
you're still living in Boise because you went to university at Boise State. Did Boise mm-hmm. State do anything weird with their greens like they did with their football field?
No, we got green grass.
You got green grass there? Okay, just checking. I figured you just never know. And hey, nothing like that college experience. That was a few years ago for you, Graham, but really appreciate your time tonight. This was fun. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. Good luck with the return to the PGA Tour. Hopefully you're back and get healthy, and hopefully you can make Canada proud again.
Right on. Hey, thanks for having me on, fellas. Go Flames.
Hey, go Flames, without a doubt.
Thanks, Graham.
That's Graham Dillette. Bidzy, that was a good one tonight.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, you know, the better than our other guest that didn't show up. Old Biscuit. Old Biscuit. July 4th got the best of him, and he had to have that nap and miss the show. So yeah, Graham was awesome.
That's a great story about going into the White House, going into Brock's office and the White House and the Oval Office and stealing fruit. I like that.
And stealing apples. And I like the part that where one guy, you know, went and said, I'm going to have an apple. And then the other guy's like, oh my God, Dave's going to have an apple. Oh, look at Dave. He's eating an apple. And then when Dave eats an apple and doesn't get busted, nobody said, then you're like,
yeah,
well, I want to have an apple too. Because that's part of the story. You can't be like, oh, Dave ate an apple and I didn't even try to get an apple. Yeah. So once Dave got away with it, you know, Dave being for whoever that is, then you got to do it too. So yeah, that's kind of funny. All fall in line. And I like how when we asked him about, you know, meeting somebody, and then he just starts rattling them as if he forgot about those other ones, you know? Wayne Gretzky. Oh, and then
Tony Romo
and these guys at the Kentucky Derby. And then, we did meet the president, Barack Obama. Oh, yeah.
Be nice to be a celebrity. How many times have we said tweak tonight on the show?
Enough.
Are we up to 15 yet?
Cable Brothers are going to be having lots of laughs, I think, tonight.
Okay. Well, yeah. we'll tweak the show when we come back, because what we have to do is we have to do our Friday shout-outs. We're going to wrap things up. He's Derek Bidwell. I'm Jock Wilson. It's Friday Fun Time. Thanks so much for listening. This is Global News Radio, 770 CHQR. If I had to tweak this show tonight, Bidzy, I don't think I would tweak anything. Because I think we hit this one out of the park. Would you tweak anything?
I don't know. I don't think I would tweak very much, to be honest. I think I would just leave it as is. And I think by the number of times we said tweak, the cable boys, they're not going to know whether it's Tuesday or Moose Jaw. So I don't think they would tweak anything either.
I don't think they can tweak anything. I just hope they're taking small sips. That's the only thing I hope.
Small sips, and you know, their folks are there with Cable Boys, Tony and Myrna, and so you know they're loving us right now.
That's a nice way to start the Friday shout-out, because that's how we end Friday Fun Time with Jock and Bidzy. We basically have our Friday shout-outs. And I got to start it off with, you know, our hero of the month for July, because a big shout-out to the Popowich Carmelli Advisory Group, CIBC Wood Gundy, great supporters of the Calgary Children's Foundation, and they are our hero of the month for July. Who are you shouting out tonight, Derek Bidwell?
Well, first one, I got to give it out to a guy who helped set up our guest tonight. We got to give a shout out to Jeff Will, a.k.a. Jockey.
Yeah,
AKA
I was a little confused
Jocko.
About the jockey thing. Yeah.
Well, it was Jocko. It was what Graham was saying, and because he shortened down Jockey to Jocko. and so then I was like, well, Jock Wilson goes by Jocko, so this is going to get all kind of confusing, whatever. But yeah, so the nickname for Jeff Will is Jockey, and then they shorten it down to Jocko. And it's because he's a little height challenge.
Oh, he's like you. He's in your category.
I was going to say,
okay,
right in my ballpark too. Same thing. Yeah, a little height challenge. So I think that's where the jockey comes from. So anyway, Jeff Will works here. I'll give him a little plug. He works here in Saskatoon with Remax. He's a great guy, and he helps set everything up tonight. Long-time friends with Graham Dillette. So thanks, Jeff Will.
I think that's a great shout-out, and Graham was a great catch tonight. So what are we going to do next week? We have no idea, because it's Friday Fun Time. Something will, I'm sure,
land in our lap.
That's exactly right. Bidzy, thanks so much for your time, and you have a great weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy. Give my love to the lovely Andrea, will you?
And you to Sherry as well. Talk soon, brother.
You betcha. Derek Bidwell. This is Friday Fun Time. Thanks so much for listening. You be safe. You be healthy this weekend. And we'll be back with you on Monday night on Sports Talk with Chuck.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.